Gareth Thomas, Member of Parliament and the UK's International Development Minister. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
One of the major focuses of this conference is investing in healthcare workers and healthcare systems in developing countries. Can you talk about the importance of the training of healthcare workers, but then also encouraging these healthcare workers to actually stay in their countries to contribute to their healthcare systems?
Well, if we're going to tackle the major diseases facing developing countries, we do need to strengthen our health systems. And at the heart of good health systems, good health services in countries are health workers. So we need to see more nurses, we need to see more doctors, we need to see more lab assistants, etc., being recruited, staying in their country and providing the service that we would recognise in developed countries. Training a health worker is obviously key. It's one key issue. But there are many other reasons why people want to leave their health services. Poor pay is often an issue. Lack of support, particularly if you're a rural health worker as opposed to a health worker in a town. We have, for example, to try and tackle some of these problems. In Malawi, increased the pay of nurses by 50%. With the government of Malawi, and sought to put in place a program to double the number of nurses and treble the number of doctors over the next 6 years. We've also funded a number of health trainers from the UK to come over to Malawi on short-term placements to help train up trainers who'll stay in Malawi, who are Malawians themselves, and who can lead in the future the training of their health workers.
Now, one of the issues as well is the brain drain, these workers actually going to more developed countries. What are some of the things that developed countries can do to be responsible to help some of these other healthcare workers actually stay back in their countries?
Well, I think the first thing that they can do is to recognize that there was a problem in the first place. We are at the moment the only country that has a code of conduct for recruitment by our health service of people from developing countries. Now, there are discussions across the European Union for a European-wide code of conduct, and we want to see that code of conduct agreed and being implemented as soon as is possible. But we also need, I think, discussions through the World Health Assembly on international codes of conduct, or at least a recognition by other developed nations that they need to put in place similar ethical recruitment practices.
One of the issues you also touched on in your plenary presentation was the link between TB and HIV and improving the health systems to treat those two diseases together. So what are some issues that you feel like are on the table to improve the treatment for both of those diseases?
Well, one of the most basic issues is to recognize the linkages between TB and HIV and AIDS. And in some countries in Africa, for example, we're seeing someone with TB and AIDS having to go to two separate clinics to get support. We need to see the response to TB, the response to AIDS, much better integrated together so that people can only have to go to one place to get the support that they need.
Great. Now, the organizers of this conference had a press conference a couple of days ago asking for $95 million to help combat XDR-TB, the extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis, within the next year. Do you feel like this whole emergence of XDR-TB will help raise awareness for funders of diseases like tuberculosis?
Well, inevitably, it will help to raise awareness, and the international community has got to respond to the challenge of extreme drug-resistant TB. We know that one of the things that has helped TB resistance develop is poor TB control programs. So I think this is, in a sense, a call to both developed nations and developing nations to overhaul our TB control strategies in each developing country where they're not strong enough. And that places a responsibility on us as donors to look at what we're doing to support countries who want to do that. But also it places a responsibility on the developing countries themselves to look at what they need to do, what they need to ask of donors, what they need to ask of themselves to do to strengthen their own TB control systems.
Now, you work closely with the Global Fund to fight HIV, TB, and malaria. And one part of their mission is to encourage corporate responsibility and corporate partnership with fighting these three diseases. What do you feel like has worked so far in that mission to encourage corporate responsibility, and how much work do you feel like is left to do to encourage the private sector to take some responsibility for these diseases?
Well, we are seeing a number of very good examples around the world of the private sector responding to the HIV and AIDS, TB, malaria challenges in the communities where their businesses are based. We also hope that we can persuade more private sector companies, particularly the big private sector companies, to give money to the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB and malaria. Some are beginning to have very active discussions. One or two big companies have signed big contracts. We need more similar imaginative partnerships to develop. I know the Global Fund Secretariat are talking to a number of private sector companies. I hope people who watch this webcast will be aware of that and be wanting to respond. Obviously, if they're working for a big business, we want them to get involved. We want them to support the Global Fund. We want them to do more in their own communities where their businesses operate.
How do you make the argument to these corporations that this is actually worth their investment?
The self-interest is the biggest cause. There are, for example, many big businesses operating in southern Africa already who lose valuable members of staff to AIDS, TB and malaria. So helping to put in place effective TB control strategies for their workforce, helping to make sure that loved ones of those workers have got similar access to good health services is frankly an investment in their own business. People are at the heart of good business, successful businesses need to protect their workers. So investing resources through the Global Fund, through putting in place effective structures at community level for better health is a good investment in their business's future.
And last question, you talked about also in your plenary speech about the G8 and moving forward, and now that Germany has the presidency and they've actually put Africa on the map in terms of making sure that Africa is a priority. Can you just talk about the future of that and how you see diseases like HIV, tuberculosis and malaria really being showcased and focused on?
Well, we know that Germany has put Africa very recently at the heart of its G8 presidency and its European Union presidency. We do know that they want to focus on health issues in Africa as part of their G8 presidency. We're obviously waiting to hear more detail on what they want to do with those areas. We'll be working extremely closely with the Germans, with whom we've got a very good relationship. And having put Africa at the heart of our G8 presidency in 2005 at Gleneagles, we're delighted that the Germans have, in a sense, wanted to build on that agenda, on the successes that we had. We'll be helping them to try and move the agenda forward as well.
Wonderful. Minister Gareth Thomas, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.